Good afternoon and happy Halloween. You'll have a lot of work to do before you look scary. It's really a pleasure to be here again a year after we did this meeting last week. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the work we're doing in ASTO. Just for your information, we cover about 10 time zones, all the way from the Pacific Islands, Northern Mariana Islands, Guam, through the Atlantic Islands. And so you can imagine the diversity in the population there. It also really drives a point home to us, because in all of the U.S. territories and D.C., there are minority majorities. And now in four of the states, California, New Mexico, Texas, and Hawaii, we have minority majorities. And in nine other states, we're very close. So the point is that the focus on health equity really needs to become the focus of public health. It needs to be the way we practice public health. This was our vision and mission, and I put this up here only to let you take a look at the second, the mission. Transforming public health within states and territories to help members dramatically improve health and wellness. It occurred to us you simply cannot improve health and wellness unless you take a health equity approach. The approach of catering to the middle doesn't work anymore. And so this is something our members take extremely seriously. As John mentioned, it was a presidential initiative. I'm going to update you a little bit on the work we're doing. And as Dr. Kumanyika said, I'm a little bit less discouraged because it is slow, it is hard, but we are making progress. This from the World Health Organization I think is incredibly important. For far too long, we have focused on the goodness. What is the best attainable average? Whether it's infant mortality rates, rates of HIV, whatever it happens to be. We really need to start looking at this notion of fairness. What is the difference between the healthiest and the least healthy people in our population? And until in public health, we set side-by-side goals, a goal for the overall infant mortality, and then a goal which allows us to close the gap between the least and the most healthy group, we won't truly accomplish what we need to accomplish in this nation. I have to say, I don't believe yet we have this measurement. I'm very encouraged at what HHS has released in terms of the metrics, but we need to move to a place where everyone is working on goodness and fairness in public health. You can no longer get away with just working on goodness. This was a strategic map, and I think it does actually tie back into what some of the other folks are saying. It's actually, I would say, a bit discouraging to me to hear that in 10 years we've only gone from 51 to 55% of the population understanding that health equity is an issue. Am I quoting that figure right, Garth? Yeah. It shows how much we need to do. And we can never underestimate the power of leadership. The secretaries, the assistant secretaries, the Office of Minority Health, getting up there at a national level and letting us, make sure none of us forget the fact that we have got to focus on health equity. And certainly Dr. Fielding with Healthy People 2020 did a tremendous job of that. We need to drive this, and our purpose is to drive this at the state and territorial level also. I'll show you later how we are succeeding in this. Now, so fostering the understanding is important. As we said, we have to learn how to speak to the public. So, as Dr. Graham says, this is not a minority problem. This is an American problem. This is something that every American needs to address. We need to create that will and know how to talk to policymakers. Talk about the economic implications of this. Talk to business leaders about the implications it has for their productivity and profitability and for our national competitiveness. We need, as was mentioned earlier, to leverage and engage broad support. We cannot do this within public health. As we stretch out into the social determinants, we know we need the transportation sector, education, business, economic development, farming, on and on. And we've got to become much better at not only being doers, but being organizers and bringing other people to the table, and probably more important, getting to other people's table and learning to speak their languages. Funding will always be a challenge, and I think we can see that across the nation now. We've lost 45,000 jobs in state and local public health in the last 2 years, and that is not changing. As we speak now, there's one state taking another 20% cut in their Department of Health. Another state, or actually territory, has just had their Department of Health eliminated and rolled into a private, governmentally controlled corporation. It's interesting to see what's happening out there. We need to make sure we have the funding here, and that was one of the things that we challenged our members to do. Not just direct funding of programs for Office of Minority Health, but making sure that funding at every level in the department is steered toward health equity for every single program going on. And then lastly, we want this not just to be an initiative that comes and goes over a few years. How do we institutionalize this work within state health agencies and how through our grants and RFPs can we help institutionalize this in our as a sustainable approach in the entities we work with. John mentioned, Auerbach mentioned his presidential initiative. Again, this has been very, each president gets to pick one initiative, and it's very critical that he picked this at this time so that each of the health officials across the states and territories, there's 59 of them, really is looking at health equity as a strategic priority. Not just do you have an office on minority health, not just do you have a program here or there, but is it actually a strategic priority of the entire agency? And we've now seen agencies begin to use health equity as a unifying theme for developing a strategic plan for their overall agency. It's a very exciting approach to this. The bully pulpit is incredibly important. There are many opportunities, and each of them has these, and I hope each of us uses it. When you're speaking to the public, your colleagues, the press, community groups, whomever it is, policymakers, make sure you weave this into the conversation and the importance of it. The partnerships we heard about, resources I mentioned briefly in the capacity in the organization. I won't go too much into this, with all due respect to John, because I think I only have 15 minutes here. But really, the data is so important, and as we're going to have much better tools, and we'll work with the department to make sure the states work to adopt some of these tools so that we have, between the federal, state, and hopefully local, the same data being collected that's harmonized, and we have a much better understanding. Targeted campaigns are very important. The days of putting something on the side of a bus doesn't work anymore. We have to reach right into the populations we're trying to serve with in a way that is culturally sensitive, not just translated word, from English to whatever the language is, using members of their community in ways that they can hear. Much more of this is going on right now, and I wish I had the time to show you some of the videos we saw a week ago at our annual meeting that's going on. Culturally competent services, again, working with non-health organizations. And another thing that the health agencies do, which is important, is the ability to highlight data. And we're asking our membership in all the states and territories to make sure they're putting out reports on health equity and the different minority groups, ethnic groups, and other groups within their states very specifically. Or I'll just mention one organizational effort, which I really like. This began in ASTO, and in Ohio, and we've adopted this in ASTO, and that is every grant that goes out requires the grantee to address health equity. Again, getting back to the fairness and the goodness. And I can tell you, for those of you in your grants, start thinking about how you would do this also. It's not always easy to figure out where are you going to get the measures from and what are you going to do to actually affect this notion of fairness. But we've challenged ourselves internally with all our grants going out, and certain states are beginning to do this. Think about it yourselves if you're a granting agency, or think about if you receive grants, how you will write health equity into those grants you're getting. We do a survey, and we've just completed our second survey of the states. And when we began this, it was really an attempt to say, what's going on out there? How are states addressing health equity? How are they organized? How are they funded? And we've seen tremendous progress. Despite the economic times we're seeing with layoffs, this has become an issue for leadership across the country. It has been worked into strategic plans. We're seeing increasing numbers of offices, and they're called different things. In some cases, Office of Minority Health, some case health disparities, some case health equity. But we are seeing greater attention programmatically and financially to this also. Also reaching across governmental agencies, whether it's federal, state, or it's state to tribal, state to local, much more cohesion, much more of a network and a web being built across the country. We're seeing that there is greater focus, greater resolution. As Dr. Koh had mentioned at one point, there would be a big lump Asian American. Well, what does that mean? You know, and the differences are tremendous. No matter which group you pick, just to lump into one, tremendous differences. So we're seeing much higher resolution look at who's in the public, where do they live, how do we address them, and then reaching out specifically to those populations and engaging them. So I consider that extremely encouraging. Just briefly, let you know, this stuff actually works. Governor O'Malley in Maryland, and this is, again, the programmatic approach, infant mortality, tremendous issue. It is when we talk about health inequities in this country and health disparities, we often raise this as one of the most shameful that we are facing. Well, Governor O'Malley, and working with the state health official and their team there, did set a goal for goodness. They wanted the overall infant mortality rate to be below 7.2 by 2012. And specifically looking at some of the large urban centers, minority black centers or African-American centers, they were setting a goal of 12.6 deaths per thousand. Still way too high. But very targeted intervention, high-risk communities, high-risk areas, culturally competent, using people from the communities to be the spokespeople in ways that is relevant to the people living there. Moving best practices between locations. Well, the goal was set 12.6 for 2012. They hit it in 2010. 13% decline. So we are seeing this can be done with a focus on it, not just let's lower infant mortality, but let's lower infant mortality overall, but specifically for the areas that have the highest impact. And I'm happy to say that this year's ASTO presidential initiative is on infant mortality. And we're working with a March of Dimes as well as AMCHIP and many other organizations bringing in the hospital sector, OBGYNs. Again, we can make progress. But it's not all. I mean, and I'm going to get to a point where in our meeting last week when we had a session on health equity, we sort of moved into an area that we have to expand our thinking. And that is, we can certainly look at the social determinants of health, and we need to work cross-sectorally with people to diminish the disadvantages in the social determinants or increase the advantages people can acquire. We can also work programmatically, whether it's on infant mortality, immunizations, whatever it happens to be. But there's another element here that's a real challenge, and that is the element of racism, and institutional racism, long-term racism, that has, if you control for education, you control for income, there still is an element here we have to learn how to deal with as a nation. And we haven't yet figured that out. We need to figure it out. So I'm opening that up to all of you to help us think of that, about how to address these other elements besides some of the more obvious ones on social determinants, obvious but not easy to deal with, and programmatic approach. So with that, I'll say thank you and be happy to answer any questions later.